We greet you in Jesus' precious name. It's from Him that all good things come from. And we believe that this place of worship is another good thing. We thank the Lord for that. It reminds me that we just don't always see everything coming to us. Sometimes it's disappointments, and sometimes it's just real nice gifts that we don't see coming, but we're glad God is in control. Brother Jonathan, I have a couple things in the floor there. Do you want to bring them up and just put them beside the pulpit? Thank you. So we have a name for these things, don't we? What do we call these?
Gifts.
We could add a word to that yet too, couldn't we? Christmas. Christmas gifts. And they're very popular right now. Americans spend an average of $975 on Christmas gifts. There's millions of boxes, some that are done, some that will be done. And they will be wrapped in paper throughout America. It is said that 900 billion to 1 trillion will be spent. That was figures that I worked at it about a year ago. It might be more this year. Of that 900 billion to a trillion, there will be 65% is gifts for family and coworkers. And there's 23% of that 900 to a trillion dollars that will be candy and decorations and all that. And then there'll be 12% will be the cost of travel and those type of things, non-gift items. The Christmas tree alone, there'll be $6.1 billion alone spent on Christmas trees. The festive atmosphere of lights and decorations and the pile of attractive gifts in the corner beside the tree. The attractiveness of it all distorts some facts. And I'd like to zero in on that for just a little bit here at the beginning. It distorts some of the facts about the gifts. I need someone to come up here. How many first graders do we have here this morning? Raise your hand. You a first grader? Would you come up here? You can open this gift here. We want to see what's inside, so you have to start ripping the paper. You can open it up. You show that. All right, that is a tractor. You can hold it high. Do you like tractors? Right. Now this tractor, what's the problem with it? Huh? Has a broken roof. That is right. Now white is one of my favorite tractors. When I was a young boy at 10 or something, I got a white tractor like that. I remember going up to Farmersville Equipment and Dad bought me a tractor similar to that. That one's gone, but this one broke too. So you can just set it here. Set it over here. But this is one lesson. A lot of these Christmas gifts will... you can stay right here if that's okay. I need you some more. A lot of these Christmas gifts will break. They will break. And a lot of them will eventually not work anymore. That's just a fact. They will not. They will be broken, and they will not work anymore. There's other things that you can check. This is a computer. This is sure what happened, but it has a broken screen. And there's going to be a lot of gifts like this. There's probably billions of dollars and things like that. Can you close that one? Can you close it? Does it work? And it does work, actually. It has enough of oil in, but it's rusty. But it still works a little bit. So thank you. You can sit down. I might need you a little later. So they wear out. These gifts will wear out. They will break. These things that people were so excited about. And there's another thing, too, that will make a lot of these gifts obsolete. There's a lot of gifts that, after a few years, they'll be perfectly fine. But people will not want to wear them. They will not be interested in them. And this illustrates what's going to happen to a lot of these gifts. People just won't like them. I wore these glasses for years, and I have quite a few of these like this. This is what we all wore. But if somebody would come to church and wear one of these, I'd say, wow, what's the matter with him? It's all style. We get used to style. And we're a little surprised at what we wore and things we did. But this is the evidence. I didn't think of a thing when I wore these glasses. So that's what's going to happen about with these with man's gifts. Man's gifts break. They don't work anymore. They wear out. They go out of style. And it's sort of a little discouraging to think about, because a lot of people are stressed about, you know, what to get their children, what to get their coworkers. What I'm really encouraged this morning about is God's gifts. And that's what we're going to spend a little time this morning thinking about. God's gifts. God's gifts do not break. God's gifts don't wear out. And God's gifts don't go out of style. They just do not. And we need to get more excited about God's gifts to us. And we need to get less excited about man's gifts. The Bible talks about where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. That's typical of man's gifts. God's gifts. Children, what's the very first one? What's the very first gift that man has from God? There's a familiar Bible verse. It's in John. That should give us an answer to what I think is the first gift that man got from God. Anyone? Yes. Jesus. We will get to Jesus. I'm thinking of John 3:16. What is the gift? What's your name? Chad? It's Chad's son, but what's your name? Jay. Jay. You want to come here again? I have something for you to hold up. You can hold that up. Do you know what it says? You can read a little bit. It says agape love. That is the gift. Thank you. That is a tremendous gift. That God so loved the world. He didn't have to do that. He loved the world. We'll have some more. Do you mind just sitting up here? Then there'll be things in here I'll need. Is that okay? Okay. God extended love to fallen humanity despite the human ability to reciprocate love back to him. So often in our relationships, you know, I'll love you, but I want you to love me back. We need to get this straight this morning. God loved us when we were not able, and we had the inability to reciprocate that love back to God. All the rest of the gifts from God wouldn't be if God did not choose this gift of love to us. That's why I say, of course, making us, we'll get to that. But the thing of love is so tremendous. And a question for us to think about, we're thinking of gifts. Would we be willing to give up everything to keep God's love? Some people are, it's not really important. I felt kind of bad on my birthday. I thought of that just now. I thought about, returning a gift. We shouldn't do that. But exactly what I did to my son, he gave me socks, those real low socks. Well, I said, I don't wear them. And he thought too, yeah. And I apologized to him later. I said, I should have just kept them. I'm sorry about that. But I don't wear those. And he had his questions about it too, but he couldn't find the others. But, you know, people are giving back the love that God is extending to them and saying, I love. And then people say, I don't care. You can keep your love. Will we be willing to give up everything because we want to keep God's love? Without God's love, we are done before the get-go. Secondly, it was mentioned, Jesus Christ. And that is in here. Can you find the one that says Jesus on? I'll hold it up. No, it's not that one. Jesus Christ. We have 2 Corinthians 9, 15. We can put it up here, I guess. 2 Corinthians 9, 15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. We could use the word indescribable gift. I believe that is another word, another way of saying that is which is precious beyond words. Jesus is amazing. Brethren and sisters, Jesus is the best person to know. He can be the Christian's friend. Luke chapter 13. Luke 13. Let's turn to Luke 13. I'd like to read a few verses of just how Jesus did life, his kindness. It's a story that I enjoy. Luke chapter 13, verse 10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. And the Lord then answered and said unto him, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? Excellent question. Jesus is right on every time. Sometimes we evaluate something and we get it wrong. Next time we say we are hitting, but he gets it right, and he raises questions here. He did the right thing. He healed this woman. He gets it right on every time. This morning, if you don't know Jesus, you should know Jesus, because Jesus is amazing and he is always right. He's good. He's kind. He loves to help people. Thirdly, we're thinking of God's gifts to us. The third one is the Holy Spirit. Can you find the Holy Spirit? It says Holy Spirit. Not that one. Right, you can hold it up. The Holy Spirit. Jesus said, wait for the promise of the Father. He said, there's a gift that's coming. And just wait for it. The gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, something's going to happen. You're going to receive power. You're going to have a life of power. You're going to have power to do the right thing. You're going to have power to remember what I said. And you're going to have power to witness, to go tell others about salvation and tell them about Jesus. He also said that you're going to receive comfort. You're going to receive a teacher. John 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. What would you exchange for the Holy Spirit in your life? 2 million? 10 million? That's 10 million, you can buy a couple farms. I enjoyed sitting up here and looking out over, wow, this is beautiful. Now, if you had 5 million, you could buy this, some of this valley here. But the Holy Spirit is worth more than anything. The Holy Spirit. We need to be more thankful and say, God, thank you. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. It's a precious treasure, but it's a priceless treasure. To have the Holy Spirit within our life, within our heart. The fourth one, these are God's gifts to us, is salvation. It starts with an S. You got it. You want to hold it up? Salvation. That is a wonderful gift. Ephesians 2 says, that by grace are you saved, and that not of yourselves. It is a what? A gift of God. Salvation is a gift of God. What an amazing gift. Do we deserve this gift of salvation? Absolutely no, we do not. We deserve hell. That's what we deserve for who we are, humans. That are prone to trouble, prone to be a problem, born with a nature that's contrary to God's. So we deserve hell for who we are, but also what we did. We all had violations, and we've violated some of those commandments, some of those Ten Commandments, didn't honor our parents. Maybe even stole little things, little or big, it doesn't matter. It's still sin, you know? And we also deserve hell for what we failed to do. What we did, what we are, what we failed to do. Didn't do anything, but we just didn't do what we should have done. You know, it's the cross of Christ that has made a pathway away from the smell the soot, the heat, the fire of hell. Sometimes we like to look at fire, Cracker Barrel there, you know, they have a fire. It's wood, it looks nice. But you know, we ought to think about when we see fire that there's hell. Think about it, there's maybe some people in this room at Cracker Barrel that are going to go to hell because of who they are. They don't have Jesus. And it should move us to be a witness and to keep ourselves on the straight and narrow way. There is another one, the fifth one. Now, I guess I didn't want to bring out two. God's gifts, a lot of them times they're in paper bags. They aren't real attractive. The world's gifts are glitzy and attractive. What do we call that? Hold it up real high. What do we call that, children?
A Bible case.
A Bible case. You're right. We need to open it up. So what else is in here?
A Bible.
Right. This is notes. A little special because this is Chad's. Sunday school lesson is January, February, March of 2021. He had his notes. He would keep notes of the sermons. Had a little highlighter in here. So that makes it a little more special that this is Chad's Bible. But the Bible itself is so special. It's amazing. It's God's holy word. And it is just an amazing book. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. The Bible is God's holy word. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Some say that the Bible contains God's word. Is that okay to say that? It's not. It is God's word. It doesn't contain God's word. It is God's word. You see, there's many people that are, they say it contains it, so they pick and choose. Say, well, you know, God had no problem to communicate to holy men and say what he meant, okay? God spake to holy men and they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So this book, it stands apart from other books. The Bible is inspired by God in its entirety. Think about it, though. We have a book in our hands from the one whom we owe our existence to. Many of us just are existing since the 1960s. Gary, Gail, and you're probably in the 50s, maybe. No? You're in the 60s, too? Anybody here that was be born before 1960. Raise your hand. So there's nobody here that existed in 1960. We weren't here. We just did not exist. Some of these trees were out here. Some of these, the cemetery was there. The hills and the trees were here, but we didn't exist. And we owe our existence to God. We owe our existence to God. And we have a Bible from God. How foolish to ignore this. To ignore this book and pay more attention to this stuff.
the tractors and the phones and the tools, and we get all excited about that and say, wow, this is how this thing works, while ignoring the Bible is really a foolish thing. The Bible is not going to go out of style. It's not going to rust. It's not going to wear out. We owe our life to our Creator God. And this Creator of the one who made us in the 60s or 70s or 80s, and some of you are very young, have been born since 2000, but there's things that you have missed out on that some of us have enjoyed in that the 2000 and the 1990s and things. But anyway, you'll probably get to live here longer than some of us too. So that's your benefit. But we owe our life to our Creator God, the author of the Bible. So we need to get excited about the Bible. And we can learn to know God and His will for our life through the Bible. Sixthly is history.
What have I brought along? I'm going to hold this book up. Free day. So what is this book?
Martyr's Mirror. It is history.
I could have brought some other books along.
The Earth is the Lord's. Think about it. What if we did not know the past? What if we didn't know the past? What if God made our brains that every 10 years it was just wiped clean because we could not hold more than that? So after 10 years, it's gone. We wouldn't have history. Suppose we didn't have a capacity of sorting out history. History is a gift from God that we can know His history with the workings of His people. It's our Sunday school lesson. That's tremendous. We can know God's working with people in the past. That's also church history.
This is church history.
Something that we should all be interested in. There's also something special in here because it's on our first anniversary. Mom wondered what we want. So I said, we don't have a Martyr's Mirror yet. So she signed that, put her name in, and from Mother and Father Weaver. But it gives us background of the church. And also there's family history. It's a good thing to have an interest in family history. We should not be foolish and despise history. History is a gift to be treasured. So school students, have a good attitude about history. You should want to know. And some of us don't start figuring this out till we're in our 20s and 30s and 40s and say, oh yeah, history is a good thing. We need to start. But when your mind is young, you could get better history than when you're older, and it might stick more. Seventhly, we're thinking of gifts from God. And that is, and this one. So what are these? Church directors. So the point is the church. The church is a gift from God. Upon this rock I will build my church. Capital letters, the church. And he says that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Matthew 16, 18. It's divinely instituted. Isaiah chapter 62. You can turn there. Isaiah 62 shows how the church is precious. His people are precious to him. Isaiah 62, verse 3. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. The church of Christ is a body of true believers in this present dispensation. The church is a gift to us. When I say that, I'm not talking about the meeting place. The meeting place can be a gift as well, and I consider it a gift this morning that we have this meeting place. You think about the church, the blessing it is. What if there was no such thing as a minister or a deacon or communion or Christian fellowship or weddings or funerals? What if we just never even heard of that, never even knew they exist? You know, and many of us grew up with this. This is normal. The church is a gift to us. And let's promote the mission of the church. Let's have a high view of the church. Satan is really good at planting seeds to make us have a low view of the church. Because he doesn't like Jesus, we know that. He hates, and it's Christ's bride. So you see, one way for him to try to undermine Christ is to work on this level and have us have a low view of the church and don't do our calling. So one way is we need to promote the mission of the church. And of course, that is, first of all, to glorify God. And secondly, it's to have sound doctrine and practice. So if we don't get the doctrine right, then we're winning people to a gospel that may not even save. So we need to have sound doctrine and practice, and we need to evangelize the world. We praise the Lord for this, what we could call here this morning as a new version, an improved version of the building that meets our needs better. But we need to remember that a better building doesn't equal a better church. It really doesn't. We could meet in Mike's barn and be a really strong, powerful church. And we could meet in a beautiful place like this and be a very weak church. Moving on. Eighthly, God's gifts is family. And we think about that. You want to hold that up? This picture you can hold up. That is family. So family is important to Christians. We can put that there a little bit. I think it's two of our boys anyway. But it's another gift from God that we should treasure. At least we need to treasure family. Parents, children, grandparents. A baby born is just an amazing miracle every time. We need to value family. We need to cultivate relationships. Go to family gatherings. It grieves my heart when I think, hear people that, well, they don't get together, or they think too different to get together. Well, I guess there could be a point that everything's so wrong with everybody that you don't go, but I think family gatherings are a way to be a witness too. And we have those in our families that we're concerned for and we're praying for. And I'm interested to go to that family gathering to connect to them and to have a connection and love. So we need to value family and cultivate relationships. And it doesn't mean that we go to the mountains with them if we're so far and in our views of life and values. But we need to thank God for family. And we need to recognize that there will be needs and problems in families. You think about it, that the very first family produced a murderer. How sad. The very first family. And it's true. Every generation needs to decide what to do with truth. What they decide with truth, capital letters. But I believe a keystone of good family life is good marriages. And that's one thing we can do, even though maybe we're disappointed with our children or grandchildren or brothers and sisters and the choices they're making. One thing we can do is, hopefully, if mom and dad are on the same page, is to have a strong marriage. So there's some things that may be out of our control, but oftentimes we're in control of having a good, strong marriage. Ninthly, is creation.
You've been doing excellent. You're okay with your job? Hold this up. I have a lot of creation books.
I would almost like to bring more. Somebody wants to loan these. The creation is amazing. I mean, this book is just the design and complexity of the cell. This is the fossil record. You know who I think of when I think of the fossil record? Who do you think of? Kim DeLeola one time. Mel Weaver. I don't know where. There's so many books, Unlocking the Mysteries of Creation. The Explorer's Guide to the Awesome Works of God. There's still one more. Yep, stay here. But creation is amazing. It's an amazing gift from God to us. We are sin-prone people. We don't deserve the beauty of the sunrises and the sunsets, the canyons, the mountains, the rivers, the oceans, the bald eagle, the deer with the big rack, the fertile ground that produces 250 bushel corn. We don't deserve that. We really don't. We deserve maybe, for who we are, brethren and sisters, we really deserve a six-color world. And we only deserve maybe six varieties of food. Instead, we have hundreds of varieties of food. And we have dozens of choices of meat, and we talk about this food. And yeah, this afternoon, I don't think we'll just have two different items. I mean, there's some people that is all they have, rice and beans and water. So we are very, very blessed. And it's because of what God made with creation. You think of all the fruits and the vegetables and what, you tell me how, you know, a tree that's wood and leaves makes a delicious peach. It's only what God can do. So we need to study creation. We need to appreciate it. We need maybe more people like Mel Weaver that took an interest in fossils and had a fossil collection. It's an amazing world that we live in. So maybe that's something you could do, is buy a microscope or buy a telescope and start examining the world. It would be a way to say thank you, God. I think it is. To study creation is a way of expressing appreciation to God. The 10th and last one. What does that say? Anyone? Heaven. That is heaven. Thank you very much, Chaz. You can go back. Heaven. Jesus said, before he went back home, he said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." Brethren and sisters, heaven will be a square cube. It will a square cube that is about from here to Florida and from here to the Midwest, a square cube, and it will be an out of this world place. Sorrow will be banished. There will be no problems to deal with. There will be no clocks. There will be no back sets. There will be no pain. There will be no medicine cabinet there. There will be no light switches. There will be no maintenance. It's things that we don't understand how that can be. Because if there was maintenance, then there would be work, wouldn't there? That would be problems. Revelation 22:5, and there shall be no night there. There they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Think about it, that there will be just an amazing existence. Asphalt will be a distant memory. It will only be gold that will meet God's standard. And think about it, brethren, sisters, friends, children, youth. We can go there. We can go to heaven. Go to this place that is just, we can't wrap our minds around it. A place that has amazing possibilities. And a place that has amazing opportunities. No matter what our situation is this morning, whether we're homeless or depressed or sick, whether we're weak, whether we're discouraged, whether we have cancer, heaven is an option. Heaven is an option. We have this option. With having a perfect existence without monthly rent, or monthly payments forever. It says ever and ever. And we stretch our minds when we think about a trillion. But this is ever and ever. You know, Jesus is the baby that the world is supposedly celebrating. And Jesus wants people to go to heaven. And Jesus said that there's going to be few that make it. And the narrow path is too restrictive to most of the people. So he says there's going to be few people make it because the path to heaven is restrictive. Jesus told John the Revelator, he said, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." And the conclusion of this is, you know, God is so good to us. We don't deserve, this is just 10 things that we mentioned this morning of God's gifts to us, and we don't deserve them. We really don't. And each one that I mentioned this morning is free for our enjoyment. It really is. There's no rust, no breaks, no go-out-of-style problems. So this morning, my challenge is that we would thank the Lord with grateful hearts for what he has done for us. Verse 7 should excite us there in Revelation. "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of this prophecy of this book." We are so blessed. So let's continue to say, "Thank you, Lord." I think verse 7, I want it in chapter 21. "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Verse 8 is saying what happens to those that aren't overcomers, the fate of those that fail to overcome. And verse 8 has a list of those that fail to overcome. So let's pray to God that we can be overcomers today and that we can inherit all things, not just a couple gifts, but that we can inherit all things and be with God forever. God bless you. Let's never give up. Let's continue striving on to the very end so we can be with God forever and ever. Let's kneel for prayer.